Well, cock-a-doodle-doo, ladies and gentlemen. Do you hear that in the background? You're gonna hear it as I walk. It is a on location Ken Braverman podcast. This bright and early? No, the sun isn't up yet, but it will be hopefully by the end of this podcast. It is 5:29 a.m. Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. Can you guess where in the world is Carmen San Diego? If you can't tell by the roosters in the background, which I hope you're picking up, we are south by the southernmost point in the continental United States, ladies and gentlemen. We're in Key West. And I'm walking before sunrise this morning, recording podcasts because, it's what we got to do. We got to remind everybody every week there's big things that need to happen. You know what I'm going to say, right? We got to remove that guy in the presidency. It's number one. And number two, we have to ban AR-15s. Go Parkland kids. Go everyone. Go humanity over special interest. That's what we're trying to win here. Those are two things that need to happen. And third is always a wild card. I mean, that's when we go potting, right? Should we focus on ladies? We could. Walking next to some fun people that probably had a really late, maybe this is their spring break. I don't know. I don't know who's awake. I saw a lot of people walking around, driving around Key West at 4 a.m. Why am I in Key West? Let's start with that. Well, I got some free time. I got a free night. And I decided let's go to Key West. I wanted to see the sunrise in Key West. I wanted to see the sunrise in the southernmost west point on the East Coast. I think that makes sense that it would be Key West, right? If you've ever looked at a map, you'll see that the Florida Keys, which I believe they're called keys because they kind of look like piano keys on a map, sticking up out of the water, there's this crazy highway that goes all the way down. I hope I'm not too windy on the pod. It's going to be breezy and there's going to be roosters. That's what's going to happen here. But there's words that have to be spoken. Anyway, the Florida Keys, it's a beautiful look on the map. It's a beautiful drive. And seeing the sunrise, no, I don't need a cab. Seeing the sunrise is just something I wanted to do because I got some free time. So I did it, and I'm gonna turn around and go. I'm gonna head back on Friday morning rush hour through Miami, and I'm sure it's gonna take me 10 hours to get home, but that's life. Anyway, I had some coverage this week into weekend. God, I love the roosters. I really do. It's like, hey, get up, have a life. The weather's nice outside. I know it's probably snowy and cold, and everyone's coughing with some type of like deep flu virus. I heard it's nasty. You know what I do to not have a sore throat? Okay? Because I abuse myself. Let's get real. I beat the crap out of my body and yet recover. And let me tell you why. You got to treat it. I think that this pod, oh, I don't want to get sounded out by like a dumpster. The roosters, I don't mind cutting into my podcast, but I can't deal with a running big rig. We're trying to walk to the southernmost point. I'll get there in a minute. I know I'm rambling, but we're going to get there. This pod should be about treatment. Okay? That's the name of this pod. It's the treatment pod. Treatment can apply to so many different things. I mean, what doesn't need to be helped along or fixed or made better? Shouldn't we all be striving to do that as humans? And I'm going to walk away from you, truck. All right. We're almost at the southernmost point. All right, treatment. Why is treatment so important? Well, I can think of three different topics of treatment. Let's just ramble them off real quick. I have a personal story about treating a loved one, an aging loved one, and making them comfortable. And we have the political aspect of how do we treat our democracy. How do we treat our democracy and make it better? I have numerous ideas on that front. Let's just go with those two for now. I'll start with the personal one because it's vindicating, and also I feel like it can help others. So I'm taking care of my grandpa. He's like 94, and he's having, mobility problems. He still carries some weight. Like he's a World War II veteran. He's an amazing guy. Now, he needs help getting around. He's been using a cane. And thank you, Rooster. He's been using a cane as we walk up to the southernmost point. I'll take a picture when this pod is over. He walks around with a cane, and I noticed that the walking with a cane, it's very non-symmetrical. I can never know if asymmetrical or symmetrical means what I think it means. So it's the one that's not symmetrical. It's the one that this side doesn't look like the other. That's the way you walk when you have a cane, because you got one thing in one hand and you're pushing off like hips and side on one thing. And he's developed some back problems, which may or may not be related to the cane walking, but it sure looks like it is from my unscientific and non-doctorated brain. And so when I see that, I think, well, I looked around, and when you're in South Florida, the home of the old people, wow, we're standing here at the southernmost point right now, 90 miles to Cuba. Oh, there's a, oh, shit, I almost tripped over the freaking sign, because it's still dark. Stars are in the air. Wow, this is phenomenal. I wish you could be here. There's some, like, thing lit out in the side, but that's not Cuba. Cuba at night. Well, it's beautiful, and I'm the only one here at the southernmost point of the continent. You are potting in uncharted territories. Anyway, treating a loved one. Long story short, I don't want to make it too short, but it's nice. I was able to. God, I hope the wind isn't bad, but I'm sorry if it is. Just bear with me. So, yeah, I'll try to stand. I'll stand away from the southernmost point to allow for better potting. I don't know, what is that? No, that's not. I think that is fish. There's rocks. It's pretty nice. It's pretty awesome. Sun's going to come up soon. Anyway, that's why I came down here. I wanted to get away. It's pretty cool being at like a historic spot all alone, recording to a handful of people or more. Anyway, it's nice to share the moment when normally you'd be alone. Anyway, I could actually talk about the Austin City bomber, the kid that did the 20-minute or 15-minute confession. That's something that's going to come out and be interesting. That's like his like Unabomber tale about why he did this, because nobody understands. There's so much news. Anyway, let me go back and finish off a thought, because I know I'm bad at that, which is I'm able to help my grandpa get around. I got him off the cane by getting a walker. That's right, Rooster. I got a walker. And the walker is not one of the old standard. It's not your grandma's walker, although this actually could be your grandma's walker. This is not one of the old walkers. This is a new design. This is a new thing. What it looks like is it's a triangle with a bag in the front. It's got two handles like a normal walker would have. It's got three wheels. And it's got this like, one front wheel and then two, like it's a triangle, it's like isosceles triangle or whatever, and you move it around, and it's got brakes, and it's light, and it collapses, the triangle collapses, you know, it's just stands straight. The thing, the roosters approve of this phenomenal device that I paid $139 for at a place called Affordable Home Care. I think affordable home product, affordable home care, I think. And I the guy there was a hockey player. We had a good time. And I walked in there, and there were a million different walkers all over the wall. And why am I talking about walkers? Let me tell you why it's important for the future. Taking care of old people is really interesting, because they're people too, you know? And how do you mitigate now that we have the technology of the future? I'm going to walk the other way from the sound. Sorry, folks. How do we take care of an aging population? What if we were all Japan and we have 18 adults for every kid? How would all the kids take care of all the old people? Because like I'm doing a one-on-one here with my grandma, my grandpa most of the time, which is he needs someone around not only for physical assistance, but also for intellectual, emotional stimulation and worth in life. You know, a lot of the questions that the doctors will ask you at this age when you are living in a lot of pain and you're old and you have different it's the same rooster. You have different biological operations that are failing in different ways due to the fact that we just, our cells and our bodies only live so long and deteriorate just through the nature of cell division and how everything expresses itself. So as this old age that we haven't cured yet, as we try to treat it, how can we do that effectively? How can we do it without exorbitant cost? How can we maximize the benefit, reductions in pain, feeling like one achieves something in life and does not just, is not just an invalid vegetable and would feel better off dead. That's a serious problem. But here's what I came up with, some solutions to this. And it started with mobility. And I got this walker, and he was flying around the thing like it was a go-kart. And it was great because I could see he had a new lease on life, sort of, at least getting around, because the cane was so painful and he just didn't know better. Because when you're 90 something years old, you don't know what the newest technology is. You are still watching Johnny Carson episodes rerun on channels from like the 70s. Like, if I see Don Rickles or Frank Sinatra one more time, we watch a lot of old movies. Or we watch baseball because it's new. We can share that. But the point is treating the elderly is a really, it's part of the healthcare debate, which is one of how do we spend so much and get a lot, but also get very little sometimes as well when it comes to healthcare. And how do we, because what's really important is, what I thought Obama was trying to do, or at least what he said, was dealing with patient outcomes. Don't we care about patient outcomes? Isn't that where our moral trajectory should lie when it comes to healthcare? It shouldn't be about how much it costs. It should be about, can we make people better? Nobody ever wants to be like, oh, we didn't have enough money to save this person's life. That sounds ridiculous on its face, unless it's so intensive for us to cure everyone all the time that we can't do anything else other than helping other people. And that's what would happen in the old days. That's what would happen in the pre-industrial revolution, when everyone taking care of everyone was sole, your hands doing it. You didn't have a lot of automated help or assistance in the form of automated technology and robots and algorithms, yada, yada, yada. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have sewing machines. We didn't have dishwashers, washers, everything else, right? Now, as we get more and more highly technological, what do we do? I'm finding ways to help the elderly as quickly as I can discover them. Well, we have to treat other things too. And I want to get into treating our democracy. It's a hard shift, but it does tie in together with kind of our moral duty to seek out better patient outcomes, where the patient is the citizen of the United States and essentially the citizen of the world, which is, how do we craft not only our governments and the direction in which we push society in a way that's beneficial for more of us and for the right reasons than just about money. And we use money as the driver in a capitalist society. And in the global economy, we use money as a driver almost everywhere. And it has its advantages and it has its pitfalls, right? Because one thing about humans is some of us tend to be eccentric. And when humans go really, really hard or really, really crazy in one direction, it's not necessarily good for other people. Many times it takes away from the rest of the world. And a lot of times people can express that negatively through seeking out money and manipulating for money and doing bad things for money, right? Because it's just money. But it means a lot because we base our society and a lot of our freedom on it, right? So, and that way, money's a bad driver. Now, there's also this kind of moral psychological driver, which in many ways, I think, is tied into certain religions, because where do we get our morality from? It's a commonly agreed upon principles and what's acceptable and internalizing some other crime or fate or something else in someone else's life, and then empathizing with it, and then understanding how you'd want to react, and then living our lives hopefully like that. That can be independent, actually, of money, although money usually ties in, and the decisions we make are based on both of those factors, which is financial livelihood impact as well as personal moral, you know, can you sleep at night factor, right? Some of us have different tolerances for all of those areas, you know, or they have different tolerances for ranges in those two areas. Like, some people do anything for money, other people don't care about money, and some people will do anything without worrying about the consequences it has on others, and other people can't help but overly empathize with those that they may never meet or see, or even that they may never even benefit from, that you can just fight for a principle in the abstract without ever having it affect you. Now, I had this idea for treating democracy, and that's why I kind of want to end on this. I don't know how long we're into this thing we are. Well, good, 16 minutes. I can't tie this up in a minute, but I'll try. The sun is not up yet. Now, I have no idea where I parked from here. Where'd you park? I was by the southernmost point of the continent of the United States. Any idea where my car is? Okay, so this weird idea for, it's not a weird idea, it's a great idea for democracy. So the fault in our current stage of democracy, I believe, is that in our representative democracy, we have too many people per representative. That's one problem. We should actually have thousands of members of Congress, not just, you know, 435 plus 100 senators. We should have, I think it's 438 actually, plus 100 senators, or something. But, it's 538.com, right? Thank you, Nate Silver, for making us remember how many people are in our list. But that needs to change. It needs to change. We need to have more people so that it's tougher to buy them all off and have everybody march in tandem. We need to change the way we fund whatever. But before that, here's the thing, that the quickest solution that made the most sense to me. I got the idea kind of as an Elon Musk thing, because I want to start up a company. I really need to buy the domain. Somebody can grab it now. But it's like the company is Elon Musk hasn't done yet. Is the name of the company. Elon Musk hasn't done this yet. And it's just a bunch of businesses that I've had, ideas I've had that he hasn't done yet. But I'm sure if he took them on, he'd do them better than me and everyone else in the world. So the idea was based off the fact that he's creating some charging stations that have like drive-in for food and stuff like that. And so I thought, well, what's the problem with our democracy is that we vote once every 2 years or 4 years for president. And then that decision is we're supposed to pass all of our governing power of almost everything as just a regular citizen that doesn't lobby or, you know, pay off congressmen or whatever, that just hangs out and just speaks their views and cares and wants to argue a moral point of view on the issues, their own moral point of view, whether it be misguided or not. It's still at least, you know, their point of view. There was a guy who resigned from Fox News, and he threw out his point of view about the propaganda machine they are. And it was like, yes, somebody finally called a spade after being there. Like, there needs to be more people defecting from this fakeness. But anyway, so the democracy idea, the Tesla idea driving, here's all it is. Instead of voting every 4 years and giving all that power away to someone that we don't know, instead of doing that, what if we could vote on everything in our representative democracy? Like, our congressmen and senators could still have the same power they do now. However, we get to vote on everything. And the polls, you know, you think of the word poll, instead of it being a poll and people having to fight about whether or not the poll is accurate or not, it is the truth poll, which is your vote, and you can vote anywhere. And we have these machines. Imagine they're like the size of an ATM, okay? I don't have the name for them yet. But it's your InstaVote machine or whatever. And here's the thing about it. They're all over the place, okay? They'll be like all over the place, right? Like you'll see one like everywhere you see a Starbucks, you'll have one. Everyone will want to have one. Here's what you do. You go in there and it is, when you go in there, you have to scan your ID or whatever, just like when you fly a plane, and you are registered to vote somewhere, and you don't even have to be in that area when you vote. You can go to any machine in the cross country, anywhere. And you will have a bunch of topics that are in a queue, like a freaking Netflix queue, of things that you need to vote on or take a position on. Some of them will be votes. Some of them will just be opinions. Okay? But you're allowed to do it. And then use a record of it. And it's a public database. Now, it's not public what everyone is voting for. That's not public. But you get an ID pin. And you can then look at the massive database of everyone. Everyone has their own ID pin and their own record to verify that the massive database that's everything that's there is the truth. Right? It would be like a public blockchain of everyone's votes all the time, everyone's opinions. Now, if this worked in theory and you had these machines everywhere, it would no longer be cumbersome for anyone to vote. Yes, everyone would have to have some type of scannable ID. Oh, yes. Okay, fine. I'm with Republicans or anyone else who's with that, which is you need an ID to vote. I agree, you need an ID to vote. If you don't have a government-issued ID of some sort that's got to work with a picture on it, you should have that to vote. Now, I know there's old people who have, there can be exceptions, sure, but in general, your old people are not going to be running out to their machines to go do this, although maybe they will, because the machines will be everywhere. And you could probably be able to do it from the internet eventually, but let's start with literal machines because there's a point to the machines, which is the machines, you go in, you log, it verifies that it's you. And once it does that, then the questions about voter fraud and all those things are really, really can really be combated completely. If there's a machine that you're walking into like an ATM, imagine it's videotaping you too, right? It's videotaping you, you put your ID in there, you get your list of five things to vote on for the week, and you go through it, and you can even leave comments and stuff like that. It's, you know that it's true, you know that it's going up on the public site, you know that everyone's gonna be able to look, and you know that these poll numbers or these vote numbers and tallies and things that you're gonna be looking at are going to be the truth about how America really feels. Like, forget about your Russian propaganda. This is why we need to do this to fight what Putin is doing, is we have to have some measure of accountability and be smart enough to agree that we know how to sort our information, get our facts in order, be credible, know what the truth is, and not have this fake news nonsense get thrown at us in all different directions. Instead, like, something we can trust in, right? Like, you know Denny's is going to be open whatever hour it is. You've got to be able to try. I had breakfast at Denny's here at Key West at 4:30 in the morning. That's why I'll throw them some non-shade. It was a very good fit slam. Now, I think that we all need to find ways to combat the attacks on our democracy, our archaic way that our democracy is administered. Get in the 21st century, get these crazy ATM voting machines everywhere. And then I'll see what the real numbers are. See what people really think. I mean, you should be able to ban AR-15s when everybody in the country gets the question, should we ban AR-15s only for like certain military use, you know, like they're not legal for any civilian to have anywhere? Should we just do that? And when like 99% of people say yes to that, then, and we have this verifiable data, it gives our democracy the power to pivot on a dime and to respond to issues and to make things happen in a way that our old ass legislation is not, our old congressional rules and the way we pass legislation is not working. It's broken. You can see it. And it makes sense because it was built back on parchment when people were wearing wigs and banging slaves and lying about it. Now they're banging porn stars and lying about it. I don't want to end the pod on that. I'm gonna go back to the southernmost point and chill and look at the stars while the sun. I don't see a sun yet. I'll figure out where I parked. Anyway, I'll take some pictures. Ken Braverman's out.